Full Sound. Welcome to the official podcast of Solarfly Productions and SolarflyPro.com. This is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, and the news. I'm your host, Garrett Ray, and joining me, as always, is my wife, Katie Fain, and not my wife, Luke Madrid.
Hello.
I want to give you guys a chance to, like, confuse who my wife was this week.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, there you go.
Wow. There she is.
So, there's not a lot of news this week.
News.
Except for the fact that we are actually doing a giveaway. So later on in the show, if you keep listening towards the end, we are going to give instructions on how you can get entered into the giveaway. We're giving away a PC version of Assassin's Creed Origins, which is the first Assassin's Creed to get actual good reviews in quite a while. So we're pretty excited to be able to do this giveaway. It's sponsored by no one, by us. We did it because we thought it'd be nice.
I've entered like 50 times for the giveaway. And
I keep having to reach into the hat and pull out all the ones that say Katie.
Yeah.
But
cheating is not good.
So, but we'll give you the details to that contest later on in the show, which means you're going to have keep listening. That's right, I'm holding your ears hostage.
Do you want Assassin's Creed? How bad do you want it?
You could skip all the way to the end of the episode, I suppose, and find out there.
No, but you put it in the middle somewhere.
Ah,
yeah,
tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I'll forget. So, but with that said, I do think it's time that we talk about the news that we actually have to talk about. There's not a lot of news, but there is a long piece of news, if that makes sense. It's really just reading an article. A longer one, but I thought it was interesting. Yeah?
Yes.
This isn't in the news, but I did want to say that Black Panther has broken into the top 20 films of all time as far as ticket sales goes. It made like $27 million over the last weekend, which all the new releases that happened. So they're still doing really well. It's coming up on where The Force Awakens did for its domestic total. So it might surpass Star Wars, which is pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
So good for them. But with that said, it's time to talk about everyone's favorite segment. What the heck is going on at DC?
DC.
That happened. And so, so basically Batman has, we've been talking a lot about kind of Matt Reeves' The Batman and how it's going to be approached and when they're going to do it and all that stuff. And now it's looking like they won't start production until 2019, which is kind of disappointing because I am looking forward to this one, even if, you know, Ben Affleck is in there.
Yeah.
It's Matt Reeves, my dude.
Matt Reeves is good.
Yeah.
So Heroic Hollywood reports that The Batman won't start production until 2019 at the earliest, contrary to previous reports that suggested The Batman was going to start filming later this year. If the film does start rolling cameras early next year, it could potentially hit theaters in mid to late 2020. And Warner Brothers has, you know, staked out several 2020 dates for DC films. So this seems likely. But, yeah, I mean, if they don't... We're not getting this movie next year. If we do, it would be winter of next year, and then... Is that when Star Wars is coming? Star Wars 9 is coming out, or is that moved to May of?
I'm not sure.
I need to check
something
that date.
Weird.
But yeah, so this is something that I'm a little disappointed by because it's the one DC project that I really am excited about.
Yeah.
Seeing because it's the one thing I'm like I trust that director. You know, I've seen the stuff that he's done and I've enjoyed it, and I know that, you know, like. Because he did Cloverfield, which is better than Cloverfield Paradox, so at least we know he can set the bar a little bit higher. But yeah, I'm really trying to stall because I'm looking up the Episode 9 release date.
Well, man, after The Dark Knight Rises, I was just sitting there like, where's the Batman? Where is he? And then there was Batman vs. Superman with Ben Affleck, and I was like, you're not the Batman. Get out of here.
You're the Batgirl. No, so December 20th, 2019 is when Episode 9 comes out. Thanks for filling in for me.
You're welcome.
Unless that was a genuine thought, in which case you're...
Yeah, it was a genuine thought.
Oh, well, you're validated.
Oh, good.
So
I wish I could do a Tommy Wiseau voice better.
What doesn't kill you just make you strange. No, that's that wasn't
Drew.
That was the thing we need on this podcast is more cowbell. Is that guy?
Oh yeah, him.
Why am I forgetting his name?
I don't know.
It's because I need to remember it.
It's what's his name? It's not the guy.
Christopher Walken.
Oh yeah, that's who
I'm
it is.
Christopher Walken.
I always get him and Steve Buscemi. And the dude from Aliens, who's a robot, and he's also in Terminator, he's a police guy. I always get them confused, because they all look
creepy. I don't
creepy
know how you could confuse me with with those people.
Hey, I have a question.
It's the worst Christopher Walken I've ever done.
He's back. Never mind. I was going to ask for Garrett back.
No. I live in this body now.
No.
This is...
on the couch.
It's... I don't even know where your couch is. You're going to have to give me a tour.
He just Christopher Walken.
Ah, it's funny. Mm-hmm. This is my name.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway...
goodbye.
All right, so
I miss George Lucas.
Me too.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Infinity War. By the way, that's the end of everyone's favorite segment. What the heck is going on at DC?
DC.
So this is the big piece of news. Well, no, this is the second biggest piece of news. There are two big pieces of news. So Thanos and Thor have the most screen time in Avengers Infinity War.
Good.
So this is... I don't know, man. It's really surprising to me, but I guess given that they probably are the two most powerful cosmic beings that are in the franchise, mm-hmm. that needs to be happening. Mm-hmm. But in an interview with Fandango, Joe Russo briefly discussed how the creative team broke down, you know, how much screen time each team member got. And so, as it turns out, some characters receive more screen time than others, which, you know, obviously shouldn't surprise you. Hawkeye hasn't been shown any promotional material at all, except for that. You know, Empire magazine or entertainment, whatever it was. Who cares? And so basically he said, interestingly enough, I'll start out by saying Thanos, even though he's not a character that had a huge pre-existing story in the Marvel Universe, you know, he was a threat, but he was not developed in any way up to this point. Thanos has an incredible amount of screen time in this film. In a lot of ways, I would say it's his movie. Our job when we make these films, and what we feel is important to us, is to surprise the audience. We wanted to tell a story that they weren't expecting, and the story is told from the point of view of a villain, which I think is also really unique and risky for a commercial film that will surprise the audience. I think this is a market where the audience really enjoys innovation and disruption, and we want to do something innovative in this space. So I think Thanos has an incredible amount of screen time in it, and I think you'll find that Thor has a really interesting arc in the film. He hasn't been at the forefront of other Avengers movies, but he certainly has a very important role in this film. So I'll say Thanos and Thor.
Nice.
So
I'm really excited now.
I am too, and like... that basically all the directors, this leads into the next piece of news, all the directors who have been involved in making some of the more recent films, like Ryan Coogler and Taika Waititi and those guys, they've all been involved in kind of shaping the story of Infinity War to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, though, Benedict Cumberbatch is the only actor who read the entire script.
Oh, wow.
Really? Which
I found was interesting. Dave Bautista, we talked about this before, he completely, like, he refused to read the script.
Right.
Because he didn't want to know.
Yeah.
And so he just wanted to know what he had to do, and that was it. And yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
That's the same with Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad. He would only read his parts because he just loved the show so much that he was like, I don't want anything spoiled for me. I just want to know what my character has to do.
So. Yeah, and it's different reading a script than seeing the finished product, mm-hmm. that's for sure.
For sure.
So anyway, Avengers 3 and 4 are bringing together all of Marvel's directors. And so after name-checking just about every director in the MCU, Anthony Russo went in depth about the unique challenges of crafting what may be the biggest blockbuster ever. It also, as a side note, this is the first film to be filmed entirely with IMAX cameras,
mm-hmm.
which is quite an achievement because, like, especially, I'm not sure if they're using a newer version of the IMAX cameras, but historically speaking, they've been very loud and very large, so they're difficult to shoot with, especially in dialogue scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll see in some of the... like the Dark Knight trilogy, there's IMAX parts,
mm-hmm.
but it's never when people are talking to each other.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's just because they're incredibly loud.
Yep.
And so, well, you know, for someone who's recording audio.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were talking about how all the directors got pulled together into filming this IMAX spectacular. And so this was Anthony Russo. He said, I would say collectively, everyone in the Marvel Universe has been involved in this movie. We're very close with all the directors. We love them all. We have a lot of conversations with people constantly. We have a lot of talks with Taika because that movie isn't finished and we had executed things on set that we needed real information about tonally about the direction it was going in. The Guardians 2 movies existed in the same world, so we had an understanding of how those characters behaved. I think James has functioned in the same way that everyone has been functioning. I think it's a nod to James, the VP credit, that he really helped create those characters. But as far as how we're working on a real collaborative, united artist approach to the movie. In respect to hearing people's, you know, where people are taking their characters, Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, is just about to start shooting. This was back last year during mm-hmm. concept, but it's just released now. He said, so we need to keep in communication with Peyton constantly about the story elements of that movie. Story elements in that may affect this. Coogler, sorry, we don't mention him. Ryan was in the middle of shooting Black Panther, and he was here, and we had several conversations, met with him many times, met with the crew many times with him, his production design department. We looked at fight bids from the story. We had a lot of interaction with Nate Moore, the producer, many text messages back and forth with Ryan. It's really just trying to do the job of managing the universe as it's progressing. So basically, while they're shooting these other movies, you know, Joe and Anthony Russo are kind of getting to run around and go, hey, what you doing?
Yeah.
Can we use that?
Yeah.
But like the entire third act of Avengers 3 takes place in Wakanda, so they had to know how all of that was going to go and use a lot of those elements. So while everyone has had to weigh in, Black Panther director Ryan Coogler has likely had a closer collaboration than other people, since his film was shooting at the same time as Infinity War and was on the same lot. So Anthony Russo couldn't be more pleased with the results, he said, of Black Panther. He said, what we need from their storytelling to help us move forward, I think in particular on this one, that was Ryan. Because he was shooting while we were shooting, and there was a lot of cross-collaboration there. He's done an amazing job with the level of detail that he has brought to the Wakandan universe. Incredible. You see it in the trailer. It's mind-blowing. Though the entire third of Avengers 3 takes place in Wakanda space will be a further frontier for the film. We know at least Iron Man and Spider-Man will end up on Titan with Thanos at some point, which is pretty scary. Yeah, I mean, that's the scene where we see them talking with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The intergalactic nature of the film could mean a surprise appearance by the MCU's next hero, Captain Marvel. So there was a report that Carol Danvers, who's played by Brie Larson, who's Captain Marvel. That's confusing way to put that.
Brie Larson
plays Carol Danvers / Captain Marvel.
I was trying to think of her name today, and I was like, what is it? Elizabeth something? Like, no, Brie Larson. Brie.
There was a report that she is appearing in the film, and then that report was denied, and now, so people are kind of going back and forth on this, which means she probably is in it.
Yeah.
But, so while her film was only getting started, the Russos were confident they'd work with Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck soon. So Anthony Russo said, I'm sure that they'll be by soon. I think they're just getting their feet wet. They're figuring out the story that they want to tell. That's where Marvel is respectful. Everybody gets to... And then Joe Russo picked up and said, have their space. Anthony said, yeah, have their space to come up with their individual visions for what they want to do. And then there's a point where it makes sense for us to intersect with them and talk about the storytelling. I'm assuming we'll be meeting with them in the next month or so. So it looks like they probably did end up meeting with those guys and going, so where does she at the end of your movie? Cool, she can be here then.
Yep.
And now, spoiler, I guess, for what happens at the end of Captain Marvel, but maybe not. I mean,
she survives.
Because her movie takes place in the 80s or 70s, if I remember correctly. One of those decades. So she was active back, you know, 20 years before Iron Man and... was involved in the Skrull on Earth. That's been confirmed. So,
does she age, or are they going to get a different?
I don't know.
Actress, or put a ton of makeup?
That's a good question. I'm not. I don't know that much about Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I don't either. But the Skrull, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of since we haven't seen, you know, we haven't seen Nick Fury since Age of Ultron. There's a lot of people who are speculating that he's been gone because he's a Skrull. And that's kind of one of the reasons that he hasn't been involved in stuff.
Because
he's doing other things. And so, I don't know about that.
That'd be crazy.
I wouldn't like that, I don't think.
I don't think I would either.
Nah, I wouldn't like that. But, oh, unless they did it well.
Yeah.
So, but no, look, I was looking for news today and it was just like, it's all Avengers stuff.
Yep.
So, just scroll through Facebook and you will see every article that I could have found. And
just marvel at all the Marvel.
Most of it is just the direct, like, all the stars going, yeah, it's a big movie.
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, man, it's epic.
Dude, seriously, it's ginormous. And then another guy goes, yeah, it's big. And that was most of the news. So.
Yeah. And we shall see.
I mean, we shall. We might. Unless our eyes get poked out.
I wanna.
Oh, that's been dark.
I'm getting
because our eyes got poked out, so now there's no light.
That makes my tummy hurt. The thought of my eyes getting poked out,
because it makes my eyes feel kind of weird.
It makes my eyes and my stomach turn.
Is that why they're all rolling around?
Yeah.
So if we cut you open, would it look like Annihilation in there?
Probably.
Oh no.
Well.
Sorry.
You know what made Garrett's stomach feel like Annihilation? 47 meters down.
Oh, can't do wide open ocean scares the heck out of me.
Dude, oh my gosh.
Nope.
Also,
bad movie.
It was it really?
Dude, it's the whole start of it. It's everything's very voyeuristic, so it's like we're not involved. We're just watching two people be like, "I'm a girl on vacation in Mexico. Oh no, sharks!"
And then
I didn't enjoy it.
But well, we walked out as soon as.
Well, okay, but I watched the full 30 minutes before I made a judgment, yeah. And I think that's more than enough time to go. Is this something I want to watch?
The reason you walked away was because they fell to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah.
Hmm. Tank Jaws.
Taint Jaws.
It ain't Jaws.
Ain't Jaws. Oh. Yes, that's correct. It's not Taint Jaws.
Taint Jaws.
Well, this has started well. So, last little bit of news here. Rotten Tomatoes alternative will aggregate female critics' reviews only. So, let me read this news, and then I'd like to hear Katie's point of view on this before anyone else speaks up, because at the end, that's how our news is all aggregated anyway. So, IndieWire reports that Cherry Picks is founded by actor, producer, and director Miranda Bailey, as well as author, illustrator, and web entrepreneur Rebecca Odes. Bailey described the site's mission in an official statement, saying, quote, "For years now, our industry has been proclaiming that we need to change to include more minorities and females on both sides of the camera. That would be impossible to do in a speedy fashion unless we can change the perceived desires of consumers. How can we possibly change what consumers consider good and worthy content if the majority of critics who tell them what they want are predominantly older white males?"
Are they really?
Odes added... Hold on, I'm not done yet. Odes added, "Our goal with Cherry Picks is to become the leading brand for the female perspective on media. The timing is perfect. The male-dominated culture of Hollywood has reached a breaking point. It's time to start building the Hollywood of the future, one that recognizes the multi-tiered problem of gender bias and corrects it every step of the way. The idea for the site is incredible." That's end quote. "The idea for the site is incredibly ambitious, with plans for original content, including interviews, lists, and podcasts." Step off my lawn. Cherry Picks. Podcasts are our domain. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we own the podcast world, man.
All six listeners. And it says, "It will use a four-tiered rating system, with Bowl of Cherries being indicative of a movie's excellence and The Pits meaning the opposite. The system will also offer some middle ground, with a pair of cherries being a good rating and a single cherry signaling a mixed reaction. Aside from that, the site intends to keep the, quote, female lens at the forefront of their film scores. The plan is to use their own system called Cherry Check, which would expand upon the Bechdel test, among other things." Do you guys know what the Bechdel test is?
No.
Basically, the Bechdel test is if you watch a movie and two women speak about something other than a man, then it passes the Bechdel test. But if a movie, basically, if a movie just has like a girl as the lead and she talks to her other friend and it's about a dude because she's upset over the dude, then it doesn't pass the Bechdel test and it's not empowering to women. That's the general idea. I'm paraphrasing some things there, but that's kind of the idea.
So you like can't get something like that passed, like into the...
Well, the Bechdel test is just what people look at and go, "Well, look, that woman's just a shell of a person because she wanted a man."
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying you couldn't get into the theater.
No,
like,
it can
what?
Get
There's
into the theater.
There's no way. Like,
no, it definitely can't. But
okay,
but
I was about to freak
someone
out.
Someone gets mad about it. Anyway, unveiled at South by Southwest, the site could really change the way that we discuss movies. This is from Screen Rant. This is their write-up on it. Bailey has been clear about the circumstances necessitating Cherry Picks, and her reasons stem from a desire for diversity. "We know that just over half of the people heading to the theater near them happen to be women, yet it is generally men who are telling women what it is they might enjoy. While crowd pleasers like Black Panther are likely to retain similar scores to Rotten Tomatoes, there are no shortage of movies that men and women have a differing opinion on. Like, for instance, the recently released A Wrinkle in Time, which received mixed reviews." So, let's throw the Wrinkle in Time bit out of there. But basically, let's go bullet points. So, only women critics on this site. They'll expand upon the Bechdel test to say, is this movie good for women based on if it, you know, if it's empowering to women. And then their reasons for what they're doing is a desire for diversity. And long story short, there was another point I was going to make. But yeah, those are the three big ones. So, Katie, what do you think about this? As a woman, I want to remind everybody you are a woman.
Yes, I'm not a man.
Oh, that's right. Hermione, if it no, wasn't girl.
I'm sorry to mansplain that to you. You are a woman, but...
Okay. Well, I do want to ask a question. Are there no women on Rotten Tomatoes at all?
Exactly. Apparently, all the critics are straight white males. That's what they think.
That seems right. Every time someone makes a generalization about something, it's pretty much always right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Never mind the fact that, you know, about 76% of statistics are made up, but the thing about that is that, yeah, I mean, if you generalize and you're not working with real statistics, anything you say can be fact.
Yeah, this is making me very angry.
But again, as a straight white male, I've interrupted my own wife in the middle of her opinions on this. So, no, Katie, please continue.
I asked a question.
That's true. I'm sorry. I forgot.
I
well, what I did was still wrong. I'm a straight white guy. So go ahead and continue.
I feel like if women should be able to do this, maybe men should be able to have their own website.
Well, no, the patriarchy's been around for so long. They've already... That's how all the systems are run.
Well, I don't really... I mean, I don't care.
It's just...
I'm... As a woman, it's... It doesn't matter to me who writes the critic reviews.
Do you think that... Okay, do you think that there are movies out there that men enjoy more than women? And if so, what do you think are the factors that decide that?
I think if there's any, I think there's differences in everybody, man or woman. But I think if there was maybe action, I don't know. But that's what I would say. But...
So you think that it should be more based on like an individual's opinion more than what
yes.
they're...
yes, I don't... I think it, the whole idea...
What they're
idea,
pecking.
Yeah, I think I think the whole idea is kind of stupid and petty. And we already have Rotten Tomatoes. Hire women on there if you want more, you know, like...
Well, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't even... They're not even doing their own reviews. Well, they're pulling reviews from other sites. From, yeah, you know, and then using that to aggregate a score.
Yeah, it's just... We already have Rotten Tomatoes. Who cares?
I just never... Whenever I read Rotten Tomatoes reviews, not just, like, look at the percentage, but actually go on there and read, I never... rarely get the impression that it's all straight... white old men, like.
Well, this article seems to think that the reason A Wrinkle in Time was got mixed reviews was because the story had the overtones of the love letter to black girls.
No.
That's yeah. See that totally makes sense in a world where on the same site Black Panther was. For a while, I don't know if it still is, called the best movie of all time, ratings-wise.
Aren't we supposed to be a comedy podcast? yeah, so the other thing that kills me about this is just the... It's the saying that all their reasons and their decisions that they make... for starting this whole thing is a desire for diversity, which of course is hampered by you cutting out half of the population from your site. But I mean, look, it's a free country. You can do this if you want. If you're going to put the time and effort into it, fine. But I'm just saying, like, if this fails, it's not because
people
hate
women.
No,
I can't remember the last time I saw a movie and I was just like, wow, they just really hate women and don't appreciate them.
Yeah, Red Sparrow, but we didn't see that.
Well, yeah, but for somehow people are going to turn that to, oh no, that's empowering to women for there to be basically torture porn.
Yeah, we've talked about that once before, like the Instagram account that I saw that was like, if getting naked for people makes you feel empowered, then no one can tell you what to do with your body. And I was like, excuse me, hello? Aren't you just, like, wrong? but that's just me. I'm just a guy who doesn't like to see porn everywhere. But that, you know, I'm crazy like that.
Yeah. You're not... That's not very French of you.
No, it's not. S'il vous plaît. Put on your clothes, s'il vous plaît. Is that please?
Por favor.
That's Spanish.
Spanish, French, it's all the same.
It's all the same. They all give up. Anyway, so...
English, filthy pig Latin.
Katie, you look deep in thought. Do you have any other thoughts about this cherry picks thing?
I did, but it went away.
Did when I said the word, when I said the phrase pair of cherries, did that make you laugh? As a rating, you can get a pair of cherries.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
And if you have mixed feelings, it's one cherry.
A single cherry.
I just think the whole reasoning behind this is stupid. And if they're, like, Wrinkle in Time wasn't bad on Rotten Tomatoes because of the whole love letter to black girls. It was bad because it was a bad movie.
It was poorly constructed.
Yep.
Just saying.
If you want to know why, listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, but only if you like the phrase, in the book.
Yeah.
Someone did a write-up on that, actually. I was going to follow up on that and say, basically, look, I've had a little bit more time to cool down. And the thing about it is the message of the film differs from the book in that the book does have strong Christian overtones. I mean, it basically, like, when they see Mrs. What's-It transform for the first time and she's described as this creature of incredible beauty, Calvin kneels down and, like, in reverence, and she goes, "No, not to me, never to me." And on that same planet, they hear a bunch of creatures singing, and Mrs. What's-It translates the song, and it basically says, "Give, you know, all glory to the Lord."
Mm.
And so that's kind of the message of the whole book, is like, you do the hard things, and you do that, but it's not because you're a savior.
It's not because you're a warrior.
Well, you are a warrior, but you're a warrior in an army that's greater than yourself. Yeah. And then the movie is all basically just, you just have to believe in you.
Yeah.
Which, of course, as most people know, if they've tried that, we are incredibly inadequate to handle life in most aspects if we just believe in ourselves and our own, you know, understanding and thoughts.
That's what Oprah's about, man. That's just her whole philosophy.
I love the episode where she was like, look, and God, you can call him whatever. Some people call him Jesus. Some people call him Allah. Some people call him ice cream. Whatever. It doesn't matter. As long as you're empowered. And I was like, Oprah, I mean, can you just go back to giving away cars? Anyway.
Yeah, so. I'll take a car.
You get
I'm a
car.
Woman, but I'm not black.
You get a tax bill. You get a tax bill. Everybody gets a tax bill. That's what that car giveaway really was. I mean, the taxes on that.
Right, yeah.
That'll kill you. Anyway, so that's the end of the news. but yeah, so look, the thing about this cherry picks is like, I don't think that it's necessarily wrong. And I understand the idea behind it. Like, okay, if there is if you take 100 critics and 75% of them are men, I understand how you could look at that and go, that's uneven. But at the same time, I mean, if you want to see more of that changing, then, you know, you yourself, if that's something you have a passion for, can work to become a better writer and apply for those same jobs. And you know, I'm not saying there's not people who discriminate, but I do think that a lot of it just comes down to, you know, who's willing to write the better review and put in the time to do that. And that's how we make decisions when we're trying to get people on board with our team. Is we're always like, how good are you at what you say you're good at?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've got the best work, you're on. And it doesn't matter, you know, what color you are, what gender you are, it doesn't matter. Just be the best worker.
Yep.
So, you know, meritocracy. That's what it's called.
Meritocracy.
Do you guys want to be funny again? Ted Gummit,
I want to go kill the children outside.
Yeah, if you hear screaming, that is, there's several children outside who have decided that spring break cannot end today, and they're protesting right outside the podcast studio. So, with that said, it is time to say thank you to our sponsor for allowing us to talk about cherry picks and other things. So, here's a question I wanted to ask you guys, because I think that it's important to know what you want out of life, right? So, when you go to a movie theater, what's one thing you would think, I really want it to be this? Katie, what's something that you would find very important in your movie-going experience?
I would want the place clean.
I think that's a good, good, yeah.
I mean, you don't want your theater to look trashy.
You don't want to sit in a pool of butter.
No.
Or slip in a pool of butter and crack your head open and bleed all over the seats.
That would be awful.
I mean, that's one thing I've looked for in the past is cleanliness.
Yeah, I think that's really important. What's something else? Like, so, Luke, if, as far as the staff goes, you know, we don't want people who are rude. What would you say is what you want?
As far as staff goes?
Yeah, as far as staff goes.
classy staff.
Mm, I'd like good. Courteous staff. Mm. You've messed it up. Now we're dropping the charade.
Oh, it's... dang it, I was thinking about the order and I was like, I'm going to get it right. I don't want to get it in the wrong order and look stupid.
Clean, courteous, classy. That's the motto of Grand Avenue Theater. So yeah, it is always clean. The staff is incredibly, incredibly courteous. They help you. They open the doors for you. They're always ready, you know, to jump up and do something to make your experience better. And it is a classy environment. It really is. It's just, it's a cool looking building. They've got a full service kitchen. They've got ice cream and Starbucks drinks at their parlor, all that fun stuff. You can eat in the theater. They've got reclining seats now. They've got a whole bunch. It's just a good place to go.
It is.
We don't go anywhere else, because everywhere else we've gone, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, that said, thank you, Grand Avenue Theater. You can buy your tickets at www.grandavenuetheater.com. That's grandavenuetheater.com. And they really are wonderful. You should go see Avengers there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even Solo. I mean, not for Solo, though, just because the theater is that much fun.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about our film. As Luke said when we were walking in to watch, it's time to talk about Tom Brader. So, Tom Brader is a quarterback for the Patriots. No, so it's Tomb Raider. We're talking about Tomb Raider. As always, we will do spoiler-free and then spoiler-y in our reviews, and we're going to try to remember that this is a movie that stars a female star, so we will be judging this on a bowl of cherries, a pair of cherries, a single cherry, or the pits. So,
is that like good, bad, great, or terrible?
Yes. Okay. No, so good, bad, great, or terrible is our rating scale because we don't discriminate against men. So, so let's talk about Tomb Raider. So this was an interesting one for me because when I watched the trailers, I it's a video game movie.
Yeah.
And it definitely takes a lot of its influences from the 2013 reboot of the series when Square Enix got their hands on it. And so I'll talk a little bit about that. But it does... I wanted it to be good, but every time I watched the trailer, I went, it doesn't look like it's going to be. And the parts that made me go... it doesn't look like it's going to be is when she's in the back of a gun store and she goes, I'll take two. I was like, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look, oh boy. So if you hear children screaming, again, that is a protest against spring break ending. We're not torturing people in the studio. So there's a lot of stuff in here that I thought had potential, but I want to hear what you guys think about it. So, Katie, as always, you get to go first because, and from now on, you get to be Katie Croft. So.
Oh, goodness. No.
Okay, fine. Jeez.
I went in with low expectations, as always.
Yeah, I mean, you're never really excited to go to the movies, are you? It's weird because we love movies.
No, I love movies. It's just I try to go in with really, really low expectations so I can be pleasantly surprised.
So does that mean you pick apart the trailers like crazy? You're just like, that looks bad.
Not all the time.
Okay.
I don't know how
this works. We've been married a year and a half. I have no idea.
But I went in. I had a lot of fun watching it.
So you enjoyed it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't the perfect movie, but...
Well, what is?
Yeah, true.
The Godfather.
I disagree.
No. Have you...
It's Monster Trucks.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh.
So, no, I still haven't seen The Godfather. It's on my list, man. It's on my list.
I had a lot of fun.
Well, good. So an enjoyable experience at the very least. Cool. Would it have been worse if the theater was not clean?
Yeah.
What if it was uncourteous and not very classy?
Yeah, I would have been walking out.
So the movie wouldn't have been enough to keep you sitting in a buttery seat.
Gross.
What movie is enough to keep you sitting in a buttery seat?
No movie, man. Ugh. Unless I had really thick pants.
I would ask to switch seats.
Ragnarok would keep me in a buttery seat.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. And Baby Driver. I'd watch Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sit in someone else's poop.
Wait a minute.
I wouldn't sit in someone else's poop.
Wait a minute. You just said that... no movie's worth a buttery seat.
Yeah, but then I
thought you changed it. So, you can't be trusted.
You're an unreliable witness.
I'm sorry.
Get off the stand.
Okay, bye guys.
All right, well now that we got rid of the dead weight of the podcast, he's actually going to the door.
Wait, come back.
Oh boy. Okay. I don't think he knew it was a joke. We're going to have to explain to him sarcasm after the show. So, Luke,
I am.
What did you think of Tomb Raider? Or Tom Brader?
Tom Brader was all right. I mean, are we going to do good, Brad, good,
terrible? we'll do that after we give our general thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. Good, Brad, great,
Brarable.
Yeah.
So, this movie, I don't know. I had fun. I liked a lot of the action. I thought that the girl who played Lara Croft had really nice abs. That, like, honestly, that's the biggest thing I took from this movie is, wow, she has really nice abs.
She worked out like crazy for this role.
Yeah, I bet. They're crazy good abs.
I think he's a little bit attracted to her.
I think so.
What's funny
is because we were walking out of the theater, and we're going out to the car, and he goes, I just want to see a movie where it's, like, not just beautiful people.
Yeah, because, like, this woman looks gorgeous in cargo pants.
So you were distracted by it.
I was very distracted. I just want a mediocre-looking woman so I can, like, judge the movie objectively.
So what you're saying is we really actually can't trust what you think about this movie.
Because no,
you're
not
sitting
at
there
all.
The whole time.
No.
Not in a buttery seat, but definitely a drool-covered seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You objectified this woman.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
She's a really good actress.
You're the pits. She's a bullet cherry over there, and you are the pits.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. No, she was a really good actress. Like, when we get into...
You're blushing so hard.
And when we get into spoilers...
You weren't until I said you were. Now you really are. That's pretty funny.
I just tried putting your cap on my water bottle, which already has a cap on it.
You're so distraught over the idea that you might be attracted to a woman.
He's pulling a Katie when I think someone's a good actor just because I like their looks.
Yeah. Don't you dare spray water all over my microphone.
Okay, I'll try not to. Butter abs are really attractive.
Butter abs? That's how they got them so shiny. Anyway, so...
But all right, what do you think, Garrett? Enough about me.
Yeah, do you think she's attractive too?
Well, look, I gotta tell you, coming from a video game background, I thought that she was a little bit skinnier than I thought Lara Croft should be. You know, I was looking for more love handles, but that's fine. I'm so kidding.
Were you looking for the 1990 version of Lara Croft?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you know what's funny? So I don't want to talk about this very much. I want to breeze past this. But there were some people who were, like, reviewing the movie, and they were like, this isn't Lara Croft because she's not like a 97 double Z cup. So it was just, those are dumb.
Yeah.
But
wasn't that what Angelina Jolie was for in the...
I think that's why she was cast. Well, actually, no, they had to stuff her... They gave her prosthetics.
But she has...
She does have the voluptuous lips.
Yeah. In the shower scene where she's flipping her hair
Who is a shower scene for in a movie?
Well, you didn't see
anything.
It's for
the perverts, right? I know, but it's
people who want to see Chris Pratt's butt in Passengers.
I don't need to see Chris Pratt's butt, even though that is the one man in Hollywood I admit to having a crush on.
Honey, I need to see Passengers.
No. Look, you barely put up with me as it is. If you know what other people's butts look like, there's no way you're staying around. So, this got really personal. I'll sleep on the couch. I think Alicia... So it's Alicia Vikander. I think that's how her name is pronounced. But I think she did a really good job on the island up until the first time that Laura has to, like, go hand-to-hand with someone. And I'm not saying the action is bad, but I want to talk about this in spoilers. I don't want to talk about it here. But there's a point where she goes from being a character that I believe to something that I'm just like, now she's just an action hero. Mm-hmm. And that's not Alicia Vikander's fault. Alicia Vikander. Her fault. It's the script. And so I think, generally speaking, the movie's well handled. I think the direction for what they were doing is pretty good. Some of the scenes where people are shooting at each other, it's just shot, reverse shot of people shooting, so there's not really a lot of geography there. But overall, I think the action is well handled.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use someone else's words, but there are only so many words in the English language to describe what I'm thinking. So it felt uninspired and a little bit unoriginal. What I wrote down in my notes was that the story itself is rather trite.
It's Batman and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a hat on Laura in this movie, then it would be Indiana Jones.
I don't know.
You know, so it's
Harrison Ford. No,
I would
female
like to
Harrison Ford.
Can you imagine Harrison Ford just running? Just I'm
in
never.
A
I don't
and
know
cargo that. Shorts and a ponytail.
I don't want to see any more of his chest hair. We saw Blade Runner. That was gross.
Yeah, he's a hairy man.
Yeah,
maybe we did descend,
but only in weird places. Yeah. It's like a plane wings across his nipples.
You know, it's just like Garrett. He is hair in really weird places. Like your legs are dark, and then you can get to your thighs.
That's the thing. It's like above the knee, I'm like a naked mole rat on my legs, but below the knee, I look like I don't know.
A clothed mole rat?
Yes. A mole rat who's been to JCPenney's. But yeah, so let's not talk about hair in weird places anymore. I think we're done with that topic. But yeah, no, I think that the script overall, though, it hits all the cliche beats, which is unfortunate because the cast that they assembled was really good. Walton Goggins is, I mean, there are places where it was like it worked really well, and then there were the places where they're like, I get it, he's gone a little crazy, but but I don't know. Someone posted a review and said basically it's Lara Croft's story up until the third act, and then the men take over, which. Mm. Well, I think what the review actually said was, like, the men take over and take a lot of time overacting, which I disagree with, the overacting. It did feel a little less, like, she goes from scared teenager kind of, not teenager, but, you know, scared young woman to killer to scared, somewhere in between. Yeah. So I don't know. That felt a little wonky, but we'll talk about that in spoilers. So good, bad, great, or terrible? Though, what Katie would you say?
What Katie would?
What
you
Katie
say?
Would you say? How many Katies would you give this movie on a scale of 1 to 4?
Why 1 to 4?
Good, bad, great, or terrible?
Oh right,
1 I Katie would, is terrible. 4 Katies.
I would probably
is...
give it a good. It wasn't great. But I think acting wise, good. Story wise, bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to break it up.
Yeah. So Luke, what would you say? Good, bad, great, or terrible?
Just as far as the movie goes.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
about.
Because,
so. Just because the story is always the most important part to me, and then comes acting, and then visuals, and you know.
Then comes a baby in a baby carriage. Yes, I'm following.
So, I'm gonna have to give it a bad.
Oh,
but
really?
I think this is gonna go on like my number one, like, it's number one on my guilty pleasure list for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because of the buttered abs.
Not just because of the abs, but a lot of the action. Though I know, like, it's just I think it's kind of a stupid movie, but I had a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, I think that. And that's kind of why it sits in good for me because although it is very trite, it is very much like I've seen this all before at some point or another. I did have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that as a dumb popcorn movie,
yeah,
it's perfectly well. I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's not Jumanji fine though. It's better than Jumanji.
I'd say. Well, it's fine for different reasons, because Jumanji is meant to be a comedy. I think I just wasn't in the mood for a comedy when I saw that movie.
Yeah.
I was watching a little bit with my parents, and I was criticizing it, and they were telling me to shut up because I'm no fun. But yeah, no, it was enjoyable. I wouldn't say it's one of the greatest films of all time, but follow-up question, do you think it broke the video game movie curse?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think I see progress.
I think it barely does, but it does. And actually, so to tell you what our listeners thought. 11 votes only this week, but for Tomb Raider, good, bad, great, or terrible, 45% said good, 18% said bad, 27% said great, and 10% said terrible. So people are pretty much overall have enjoyed it. It's sitting around 50% on Rotten Tomatoes as well, so, I mean, you know, people are kind of split there.
Whoa, but, what's the Wrinkle in Time at?
I'll check. But as far as, do you think the Tomb Raider has broken the video game movie curse? 100% of four people said yes. So four people said yes. No one said no. So other people that saw that. So I think it's a step in the right direction. I think that they just need to take the next step, and instead of so like the old Tomb Raider movies very much felt like this is a video game. You know, like it felt like that when you were watching. And granted, it's early 2000s. Stuff.
Right.
It feels that way. Like you can turn that on and like smell a Sega Dreamcast starting up. But at the end of the first one, it's this fight against, you know, a couple of these foot soldiers, and then this big, you know, four-armed Buddha statue stands up and start. It's not Buddha, I don't think, but don't at me, bro. And you know, people, it gets up and it's basically a boss fight. And in this, it's very different. They went for a much more grounded approach, which, you know, because let's get into spoilers, because there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about, like how that changed from the video game, and because it does tell its own story and it's different from the game, which is good. But I do think that they kind of like played it safe a little bit by pulling off of some of the supernatural elements that Lara Croft is known for. I mean, in one of the games, she fights a T-Rex, so obviously, weird stuff is happening, and we're accepting that. But in any case, I think it's time for us to talk about spoilery reviews. So,
can I just say what I want?
Yes.
First,
buttered abs. I will never let you live that down.
What I want is a movie where Indiana Jones has a kid. Not
Shia LaBeouf, though.
It's Lara Croft.
Lara. This isn't VeggieTales.
Okay, Lara Croft. And then she grows up with a friend who's Nathan Drake. And it's a Indiana Jones,
that
Lara
means
Croft.
We would have Alicia Vikander and Tom Holland together.
That would be so good. I just want that so bad. That's all I need. Then I can die.
Well, shoot, man, you could die at any time, really.
Well, then I'll be okay with dying at any time.
So, okay, so let's talk spoilers. So, there was a lot of lead up to this that was like, you know, it's going to be the first great video game movie. I don't think it quite hits that, but they did pull some elements and drop other ones like we were talking about. So the movie takes a lot of inspiration from the 2013 Tomb Raider game. Like the island of Yamatai, the main villain is named Matthias. That's the same, although in the video game it's pronounced Matthias. So well, here they were just like, it's Matthias because it's different. But weirdly enough,
it's spelled the same
way? I don't know. But the legend of Himiko is the main driving force for both of these. So in the game, though, she's called the Sun Queen, and she actually gets... The idea is that she, it's kind of a spirit, and they sacrifice people, and her spirit gets passed on, and she has power over, like, weather powers, and so when people crash on the island, they can't get off.
Okay.
Here, it's just like, yeah, the rocks are real bad there, so we send a helicopter, but if you don't have a helicopter, you're stuck. And, but yeah, so the names in the shipwreck seem to be the only things that's really pulled from the video game. The inclusion of Trinity, which is a staple of the game series, doesn't come until the second game in the rebooted series. But here they've got the whole storyline with Anna, and that's basically the whole... She's the main villain of the second video game, so they work that in to kind of, you know, pull it together for the sequel that they obviously want to do.
If they make a sequel, I'm there.
I mean, I'll watch it too, yeah. But I definitely hope that there's some changes to the formula.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of focus on the survival aspect of the game, which is something that was, again, a shift from, like, the Lara Croft is a horse that has two Uzis. So, but there's a lot of focus on the survival aspect of the game. And one of the interesting moments in this film that I thought had something going for it, and, like, I was on board more at this point than I was just 5 minutes later, is when, you know, Laura kills someone for the first time, and she looks really horrified by the act when she's sitting there and, like, shoving this guy's face into a shallow pool.
That was a visceral fight scene.
She looks horrified, and it works really good, but the problem with it is then, like, she immediately stands up, and, spoiler alert, her dad's alive and on the island.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So, you know, she runs after him. And then everything after that is, like, I am this, you know... super awesome bow hunter who just kills willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once her dad got in there, man, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, and look, so there's the reason in the game that she follows the map to Yamatai is because her dad left it, and but he's dead. You don't ever see him.
Right.
She's on the island with a couple other people, and I think that was maybe a good thing to cut out, like, her friend and the other people on the ship, that they were making, like, a documentary or something. I don't know. But okay, so let's talk about stuff that we do like, and I'll fill in. I've got some notes and stuff. But I didn't like... So let's talk about stuff we do and don't like.
Okay.
I didn't like basically the beginning of the film. So we start off with this, yeah. Like, here's Richard Croft giving an overview of, like, the legend of Himiko, and so it's a whole bunch of close-up shots of maps. And
narrating, which...
Yeah, the narration. Yeah. Look, I don't have a problem with narration. I just think that, like, the problem with this is that they use it, and then, like, 10 minutes into
and
the
movie...
And then
they do it again.
Laura's listening to the same tapes.
If they would have just done that, cut that out of the first part... And just done that whole speech, like, on the tape recorder, mm-hmm. And she's looking at the stuff, and there's camera shots of her, like, picking up the papers and, like, reading over it.
They do that. That's
they do
the
that,
thing.
But, it, like, they didn't do it as long as they did in the intro to the movie.
But if they had cut that intro, they could have gone a little longer with the
part. Right, that's what I'm saying. If they had done that, I would have been totally on board.
Yeah. And then we could have started with the fight scene in the boxing ring.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, let's... Just to be very clear,
just a filler.
It's over-edited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many different cuts in that fight scene. It's just like, I was like, please don't let the rest of the movie be like this when I was watching that.
Yeah.
And thankfully it wasn't. Nope. That's the only scene that really felt like overdone. Katie's going to sneeze. Nope. Maybe she's going to... What?
What?
Oh! Willpower triumphs. It'll sneak up on
Green
her.
Green Lantern.
She'll be like... Blah, blah. But, but that whole... That scene, I didn't really buy... I don't know. I just didn't like the opening very much because I felt like they're just like, oh, she's Peter Parker. You know, Laura Croft has always been, she lives in Croft Manor and all that. And they're trying to make her more relatable, but I didn't feel, I don't know, it felt forced.
I didn't like the bike race.
It was fun, but
I liked it. But I...
Yeah.
Is that what you were laughing at in the theater?
There was something you snickered at.
Snickled. I snickled when Matthias keeps saying, like, finally, someone to talk to, when there's like 50 guys on the island.
Ah, but they're all meatheads.
But no, like, he said it like he was surviving there on his own, and I just thought it was the funniest thing because I felt...
That's fair.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. I was suppressing some serious cackles in there because it was just that was careless writing or like confused.
The
writing.
Only person I get to talk to is on the other end of that phone.
Yeah, I was like, that's not true.
That line's only there to like set it up so that Laura can have the realization that Anna's evil.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But, oh my gosh.
But that said, like that scene between him and Laura was, where she first wakes up on the island. I thought that was pretty good. Like the whole thing where. You know, she's eating peaches out of a can, and he goes, you know, I used to imagine that I'd find an ear in there. How crazy is that? And it's like, what's going on with you? You got issues.
He's crazy.
At first, the first time he said it, I was like, I hate this. And then I went, no, that makes sense. But I think the whole opening part where they're trying to build up Laura, and she's not the survivor, you know, she's rough and tough. She's not just been... pampered her whole life, which is good, but I think that they could have done that without coming up with the whole I'm poor thing, you know. I don't think it's wrong, it's just what it wouldn't have been the decision I would have made if I'd had that creative control.
I just didn't like how they played a song when she was riding on her bike with the helmet on that says something about when I roll up in my hood, and I was like, what?
If you roll up in the hood with a helmet on, you're getting shot.
Yeah. That's when a helmet does not help with safety.
No, but a bulletproof vest might. So, yeah, I think that the opening doesn't work, and then the end when she gets back to England, like the parts where she's just in the regular world, I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
But the stuff on the island, I really enjoyed.
I did. I like the stuff on the island. I like the stuff in, where does she go? Where she finds Lu Ren?
It's China. Did they say it's somewhere Shanghai?
I think it's Shanghai. I like the chase where she chases the guys.
Yeah, the guys who stole her backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun.
And I like Daniel Wu's character a lot. I like how they
did you like Lu Ren?
Mm-hmm, I did. I didn't like how they...
I didn't enjoy it very much.
I didn't like how he was drunk at first, because that's stupid.
But, oh, a drunk boat captain. Where have you seen this? Yes. Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah, but like...
Also everything else.
Everything else. But, yeah, I did like how they didn't force a romance between them. Like, they kind of hinted at it, and I was like, don't go that way. And they didn't go that way. He had his own kind of subplot, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I don't think his subplot was good at all. The whole thing felt very forced and flat and just
I didn't think his subplot was good. I thought it was good that
he had one?
That he had one and he wasn't
involved. Well, don't do one if you're not going to make it good.
Right, yeah.
I've beaten you down with logic. That's what I've done. Yes, I've taken a stick that says logic and I've hit you on the head with it. It had nothing to do with the words, so just off-screen abuse.
That seems like something that would be in one of those like newspaper like political comic things.
I should start writing political comics.
Yes, you should.
So, yeah, no, but I think that the problem that I have with this movie really is that it wants to action movie so hard that it takes the psychological element that sets up that first time she kills somebody out of necessity and throws it out the window because then she's just like, well,
I can kill everybody now.
I'm going to kill Matthias because he's a jerk. And so like I feel like it abandons the things that made it interesting.
Yeah.
Not that the action isn't interesting, but the stakes aren't quite the same if we don't have her struggling with the decisions she's having to make.
Yeah.
You know, like she's just in the cave with her dad and goes and you know, she goes, "You're the one who taught me to never give up," which again, the dialogue in this is not great.
Yeah, it's not.
And he goes, "Well, I was a different man then." She goes, "Well, I'm still his daughter," and storms out and is like, "I'm gonna Robin Hood."
Yeah, so okay, lame. So I was okay with the bow at first. Once she kills a guy with an assault rifle, what kind of human being?
Don't use the term assault rifle. That's not a real thing. I'm not on my podcast.
Wait, what do you want me to call it then?
A fully automatic weapon.
Okay, a fully automatic. Once she kills a guy with a fully automatic weapon.
I'm just saying, I don't want the propaganda here.
Okay. What she should have done is picked up that fully automatic weapon.
Yes, she should have.
And no person would say, "Nah, I'm good with the bow that I have like five arrows left."
I mean, sling the bow over your shoulder and keep it, but bullets are good.
Yes, they're very good.
Especially when you're surrounded by guys with actual grenade launchers mounted to their weapons.
The thing I have issues with when someone has a bow and arrow, it's like, do you, it's never-ending arrows. Like,
she ran out, didn't she?
Did she?
I think she did.
I don't think she did.
I recall her running out. No. I mean, she had a lot, though.
She didn't run out of abs, though, did she?
No. She still had all six.
All those buttered abs.
Yeah, I think... look, I'm fine with the bow thing. People, you know... there was one part where I was laughing a little bit because the bad guy is shooting at Lu Ren and he has to reload and then Lu Ren has one clip and he's just been shooting for 2 full minutes.
Yeah.
And then finally he runs out and goes, "Oh no." I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You didn't have to reload yet.
It's like in
yet.
Thor Ragnarok when, what's his name, Carl Urban has like 50 million bullets and then he runs out so he can die.
It's not how guns work. But yeah, so the problem I think is the focus of the film really is on her relationship with her father, which wasn't particularly interesting to me. Not that I obviously I think fathers are another, important, but
another thing is I'm just so sick of the heroes are motivated by dead parents cliche. Can we find some other reason for them to be motivated?
I mean, the reason that's done is because like if the person just has their parents there to ask for help, then they don't have to develop themselves. So that's why, but yeah, I think that it's time for us to come up with something else that puts them in that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe not dead parents, their parents are at SeaWorld.
Maybe their relationship with their parents is not good.
Or maybe their relationship with their parents is good, but their parents are on a lifetime cruise, and they don't have their phones.
Ah, yeah.
Mismanaged, this summer.
I feel like it's either dead parents or a dead spouse.
Yeah. I'm guilty of it,
or
too.
Or even dead kids.
Like, I've done that.
Yeah, well, it's...
Well, Katie's just... I wrote a film with a dead spouse and a dead kid.
Well, it's easier to do. It's like starting your apocalypse movie with a compilation of news audio bits and stuff. Like, now Kim Jong-un is launching his nuclear warheads. We don't know, you know, what...
The monkeys are everywhere.
Right, yeah. I mean, even like
I'm talking about Planet of the Apes. Right, that was not a slur in any way, shape, or form. I just want to make that very clear.
Even the best apocalypse movies, like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, It starts with the...
There's a map, and the virus is everywhere. Look at that.
Yeah, well, I thought that was cool, but the news stuff I could have done without. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else they would have done it. I mean, unless you just throw
us... Just the map.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I felt like it was needed. But at the same... So, when you're coming...
I didn't say it was a good suggestion. I was just throwing something
from,
out there.
So, when you're coming from... With Planet of the Apes, it's weird, because you're coming from Rise when it's not the apocalypse. If you would have then just started and it's like, oh, it's the apocalypse, that would have been insane. So I see why they had to do it there.
Yeah.
But like something that does this well and avoids that cliche is the Book of Eli. I think I've talked about this. They just start and it's like, it's the apocalypse, deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it exposes more about...
Stuff is bad, yo. This guy might be blind.
Yeah, what causes the apocalypse as the movie goes on. So it's interesting that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the dead parents thing. It's the easiest hero motivation out there. So
it is.
It's just gonna. And keep
they don't
even—they
don't just give it to Laura. They also give it to Lou Reb. Mm-hmm, like, both our parents are dead. Okay, so that's something I want to talk about. They get on the island. Laura gets hit in the back of the head, and then she wakes up, and I guess she's been out maybe 12 hours. And then she walks outside, and Lu Ren is there, and he has already talked to a bunch of people and found out that they know who his father was, and that he died saving them. And later this sets up something that we'll talk about
this
in a minute.
This might be bad to say, but it's like, you know, did you know this guy? He looked like me. Most of us.
And they're like, oh, yeah, he died. He was a martyr. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just... Yeah, I don't think...
I mean, maybe he had a picture, but still.
I don't think he did.
How would it come out?
I don't...
You know, that he was his father.
Like, he just got on the island and goes, have you seen my dead dad? And the guy who's throwing rocks over his shoulder is like, yeah, he's dead.
He died for us.
You're a hero around here. Woo.
Yeah. You know. Woo, that's his name.
So, yeah, I think that... A lot of it, look, the dialogue and stuff, everything's very much like here's a coincidence.
Yep.
Which is the reason I'm not like more angry about it is because at the very least they use the coincidence to have some fun.
Right.
And I don't think the movie's taking itself that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and it almost does with Laura killing that first guy, but then it backs off of it.
Right.
Which,
it's like, no, we don't want to get that serious.
Yeah. It's a shame because it really could have been it could have been a more emotional journey.
Yeah.
But you know. So, yeah, there are, as you might expect, several action scenes throughout the film that, you know, they attempt to keep you on the edge of your seat. I don't think that they're poorly done, but I do feel that they don't do much new and exciting either.
I like the waterfall, even though that's done all the time. I thought that was cool, where she gets in the plane.
Yeah. I also like that she doesn't think quickly and save herself. She goes over the edge, and her hands just happen to get caught in the plane. She's
right,
like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and...
It was well done, yeah.
Right, I think it... For a while there, it's just, like, terrible stuff just kept happening to Laura. Like, something would crash, and then another thing. And it felt like The Revenant, if you've seen that. Like, first... Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't go into spoilers. Well,
yeah,
it's been out for a while, but just terrible things just keep happening. And
how is he still alive?
Yeah.
I like how she was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was why, like... You know, when she... Because after that, you know, she drops out of the plane and there's the whole big, like, crashing through all the trees and stuff. And only one stick gets stuck in her.
Yeah, I was like that...
I mean, she'd be dead.
Right, yeah.
You know, but she's... They've acknowledged in the film, it's a bit ridiculous. And if you've played the games, that girl goes through so much in those games. And it's just, like, the recording sessions for Tomb Raider sounded just like,
yeah.
You know, and it's just like 4 hours of that and you're pressing X. so that is very much true to the source material.
Yeah.
Look, if you can be that true to the source material of a video game and still make a movie that comes out alright, why can't you make Wrinkle in Time? Doesn't suck. So but
So about the action, this is kind of related. I thought the waterfall and the plane, I thought that was good, and then I liked a little bit towards the end the fight scene, like where there's the ladder across the chasm.
Mm-hmm.
I like that
between
there,
Laura and Goggins.
Yes, yeah. There the Mr. action
Goggles.
Yes. The action set pieces felt developed.
Yeah.
And then other places they just seemed rather thin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The gunfight when all the slaves are escaping, for instance, feels very just like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening? I don't know. It's loud. Oh, that guy reloaded. Cool. So, yeah, and I think it's a shame that it doesn't feel more developed because, you know, because everything feels so trite, you can't really get a full sense of the weight of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did like the people I was watching on screen. They weren't uninteresting. I think, you know, Walton Goggins seems to be on the edge of derangement. Alicia Vikander is interesting and good at making me feel like she's barely holding things together up until she opens up the tomb,
yeah.
For instance. But, you know, and you know, when she's in London, I just, whatever.
Okay, this is a nitpick, but this drove me crazy. So we already know that she lives in London. And then at the end of the movie, when they get off the island, it cuts back to an establishing shot of London with some very, like, some landmark London skyscrapers, like the London freaking eyes in there. And it says London in big white letters. And I'm like, do you really think we're that stupid?
I'm fine with it.
That makes me
I'm
mad.
I'm fine with it because, look, here's the thing. If we don't put London over it, it's definitely Gotham. And you've been watching too much CinemaSins, if that makes you angry.
No, like, that's just stupid, because they didn't do it the first time.
Did they not?
No, they only did it the second time. I'm pretty sure.
It's a big location change, though. I think it's just, look, it's just a staple of film. It doesn't bug me, but if it bugs you, that's fine.
I mean,
it's
okay in the James Bond movies, like, what they'll do is they'll just, you know, he'll roll up and there's the Eiffel Tower in the background. They don't say Paris, France. Because they know you're not stupid, and you know you see the Eiffel Tower, it's Paris. If you see the London Eye, it's London. You see
or it's
the Empire
Vegas
State,
Strip, because it's got all of those things. Even a Sphinx.
Oh my gosh.
It's not How needed. Mad are you right now?
It's not needed.
It's I'm okay,
not,
calm down. Think
I'm,
of buttered abs.
I'm not, okay, I'm fine.
So
yeah, I'm willing to excuse the stupid establishing shot text because of the buttered apps.
I'm not a big fan of the, you know, well, we're not dead yet. Well, no shark, you know. And then later they bring that back like it's their thing, you know.
Yeah, or like it was a, like, well-written line.
Yeah, like someone was like, wrote that, what, now this is filmmaking, you know.
I mean,
it's Jake Lloyd-level dialogue.
Yeah.
I know you said you didn't like her in the tomb. But I loved all the tomb scenes.
Mm.
Well, it's not that I don't like her in the tomb. I just think that I think there's a less there's not really an emotional arc comes to fruition.
I liked all the puzzles and the tests that they had to do.
Yeah, that's classic Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that stuff. I'm not saying I didn't. I just think that the emotional center of the character and her struggle is gone after she runs into her dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is done a lot in movies, too, where it's like, my dad's not dead, and then they kill him off 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
Except in A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm.
My dad's alive?
And then he stays there.
We heard a cry out in the universe. Friggin' Oprah. So
it was a baby next door.
We powdered its butt and all is well. You get a diaper. Everybody gets a diaper. So, yeah. So to start... I've never been a huge Dominic West fan, but I did enjoy his performance in this. I think that his turn is...
What else have I seen him in?
Stuff.
Yeah. He's one of those guys.
Daniel Wu is all right. I do think his character is really flat, but... But he's fun to watch.
It's okay to be wrong.
I like the way he says, death is not an adventure.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Yeah.
That's a good line. Look, credit where credit is due. There is good stuff in here.
Yep.
It's a good-looking film, too.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of... I didn't like that line because I kept thinking Peter Pan when they said that. Death is an adventure, or...
Did they say that in Peter Pan?
that's kind of
incredibly
dark.
Morbid.
Yeah.
It was something like...
You can fly, and then we all will die.
No, it wasn't like that. It was... The line was something of sorts like... death is an incredible adventure, something like that, and that's what it made me think of.
Hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I've heard this before.
Well, I mean, if they can rip off Pinocchio for Avengers, I think we can let this pass. But it's not Disney.
No string.
I smell a lawsuit.
On me.
So
I like the shipwreck.
Yeah, shipwreck was good, but also they would have died.
Yeah.
But I suspend my disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shipwreck was fun. I like how when she ends up on the beach, like, it's very difficult like, she's looking, and then the camera angle switches to her point of view, and there's some lightning flashes, and you can't really see anything.
Right.
And then maybe you see, like, these four figures, and then she gets hit on the back of the head. I thought it was good that they, like, instead of it being like, there are clearly four people here.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, hey, there might be something danger. Oh, she's out because she didn't have enough time to really guess.
Could you imagine what it would be like for you with your vision?
Well, since my eyes, have I talked about this on the podcast?
I don't think so.
I've gone blind. I realized I was reading the Screwtape letters the other day, and I've realized now that I watch TV, no matter what it is, I watch it with my brow furrowed like I'm watching CNN. And so it's been really tough. I've been trying to scrape together the cash to go to an eye doctor, but right now I'm just holding things right up to my face. Yeah. If I'm reading a book, I can also probably lick it at that distance without moving anything. So
you'd think it'd be hard for Laura. Imagine Garrett out there.
Yeah, I'm just over there. What is that? Like a mountain? No, it's literally 12 distinct people. But
I think she got hit with the butt of a gun, like in the face, and it shot like where it hits the camera, right? That's the way she got knocked out.
No, actually, I think it was a side view of her, and she gets hit, and it actually panned up to a guy.
Oh, that's good, because I'm sick of the.
Yeah, I don't like the point of
butt of the gun hitting someone in the face, and it's like a POV shot. Because if then the next scene is them waking up, yeah. I want their nose to be broken and swollen. Because there's no way you get hit in the face that hard with the butt of a gun and you wake up and you're fine.
Okay, so what would you want to see if someone, like, used the butt of a gun to hit someone's buttered abs?
Just more buttered abs.
All right, I'll let it go. But let's jump to the third act. So to start the third act, when we head into the tomb, Lu Ren just waits for her outside.
Yeah,
and so this is the problem I have. So he just waits for her outside, and then he has a moment where, you know, he's like, I'm going after her, and all the people around him, like, this is not an exact quote, but they basically say, your father sacrificed himself for us, so we're with you, and they stand up in solidarity. And it's supposed to be this, you know, this big emotional moment, but it doesn't feel earned at all, because we've just been watching Laura for the last 30 minutes, and he's just been standing outside with a half-loaded weapon.
It's like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Dude, Katie's
waving her arms frantically, like, I don't know what to do. just so everyone knows.
I'm still confused about that, how they knew he was his father. Like, what, did he just walk out, you know?
And someone went, that's his son.
That's his son.
What's your name? Lu Ren. We knew another guy. Obviously, you're related. They do have the same name.
His dad could have been Caesar, you know? That's his son.
I'm not going to explain that here. Listen to other episodes. You'll know why. I just think it also never paid off in any significant way, so it didn't need to be there at all. That's the thing. It's like they all run to the tomb as it collapses.
Yeah.
Like after, like, it's like, what were you doing this entire time they
were
down there?
How long were you running?
Like,
because in the movie it takes like 5 seconds for Laura to get up there, and then later on it's like we've been running for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So
5 hours later,
I've been falling for 30 minutes.
I need to watch Ragnarok again, man.
Yeah.
How could that have been handled differently, I guess, is the question. You know, maybe if he had been shot.
Yeah.
And then actually played a part in saving her in some way, that would have been good.
I don't know. People would have complained about, of course, the man has to swoop
in. I did really like the shot where she's running, and it's this super wide shot, and she reaches the line, and it's that motorized thing, and it pulls her up.
That was really
cool.
Although,
man.
You know, I was just like, okay, I'll suspend my disbelief, because there's no way, like, anyone...
Oh, yeah, she did.
Yeah, like, or her arm's ripped off if she has a really good grip.
It didn't go that fast.
It was pretty fast.
No one would be able to like make her look like, you know, someone who lost a game.
But but no one would have been able to hang on.
Maybe.
I mean, unless you're really, really strong.
I mean,
like, unless you're an
crazy
American
strong.
What if she used her abs?
Okay, well, I would believe that then.
No, I really like that shot, so I'll forgive anyone.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, she survived falling in a parachute that I guess had been cut inside a bag. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's several places where they use voiceover from earlier in the film, and sometimes it's not even that much earlier, just like 5 or 10 minutes beforehand.
Right.
And to show, you know, Laura solving clues, and it felt like it was holding the audience's hand too much.
Yep.
So
that's a
major criticism I have for this. Is like when she's sitting there and she's figuring out that the queen spread death with the touch of her hand, you know, and all that stuff, and it's flashing back to like 4 different points in the movie. I'm just like, can I just Can we not do that?
Like, her explanation without the flashbacks was like, oh,
yeah, it was enough. Yep. There's a lot of like, here's a phrase.
Yeah.
Here's another phrase. Bazinga! You know? And we didn't need that. And especially because that stuff hadn't happened all that long
ago. Right, yeah. It's a short movie. Anyway, like, can you not remember what happened, like, an hour ago?
What happened an hour ago?
I don't know.
Bowl of cherries. But yeah, I wish that it had held our hand a little less. Now, this is from a, I think,
like
a
with
Norwegian
the establishing
director,
shot.
So there's some. So what?
Like with the establishing shot of London?
Yes.
Had to hold our hand there.
Nah,
too.
That's fine. that's a new place, man. I don't want to go unhandheld in a new place. Scary.
Yeah.
How does a tram work?
What is a tram?
I know what a tramp is.
Yeah.
It's me.
But you take out the P and I have no idea.
Yeah. Lady and the tramp.
Well, tramps normally are peeing, so they're getting rid of the P. I understand the difference now. But yeah, no, I peeing in the streets is what I... Like, this hasn't gone well.
You'll get arrested for that. It's public urination.
Ew.
Gross.
I've actually witnessed that before.
I say we privatize urination.
It was in St. Louis.
Of course.
And it was a drunk guy on the lawn of a hotel.
Oh, nice.
There's bathrooms right inside the lobby, man. Oh, boy. Yeah, I just... There's things that I definitely think could have been handled better, could have been handled differently. I think the cutting back to stuff that just happened needs to stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The voiceover at the beginning could have been cut out completely. The boxing scene definitely, like, that had so many cuts. I was looking for a box of Band-Aids. You know, I wanted to hold that together.
Myself.
A little bit. I do have a few questions. So if Anna was watching Laura's dad all the time, how did she not know about his hideout in his?
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know, she should have known about that.
When she was down there, I kept thinking, okay, who's going to walk in?
Yeah. Why does Nick Frost let Laura into the room with all the guns when she's already spilled hot coffee on him and shown herself to be rather aggressive?
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, she looks like she wants a gun. Okay, come on back.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It was Nick Frost.
It's true. Logic doesn't apply to that, man.
No.
What are the odds that she opens the book at the end and she sees the name of the company from the island so quickly? Just as Anna's getting on the elevator, she sees the name of the company that had all the boxes on the Yamatai. Yeah. And it's like, that's a big book.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And also, how on earth did Matthias say, I killed your father myself, but then... How does he...
Yeah, that's never explained.
Given that he likes to kill people by executing them at almost point-blank range with a pistol... How does he not know that Richard's still alive?
It's well, a bit was he just silly. Like, let's tie him up and leave him in the jungle, and an animal will eventually eat him. Like, how did he
that
kill him?
That doesn't seem like a style.
Yeah.
It really doesn't, yeah. Also, there's got to be a different way to tell people in movies, I've been on this island for 7 years. And maybe if you do that, if you're going to use on-the-nose dialogue like that, just use it once. Don't... Because like
after 5 years on an island, I've come back.
The third act is basically just Walter Goggins saying to both Richard and Laura, "It's been 7 years. We could just go home."
Yeah.
Dude. The way she kills him is brutal.
Yep.
Where she sticks the finger in, ugh.
And
then like makes him bite down on it.
Yeah,
that was so satisfying. I loved it.
Yeah.
I want to point out something that bothered me. Although this wasn't in the script of how he dies.
You read the script?
No, but it wasn't in the movie.
Oh.
But you know the part where he's pointing the gun at her dad and she's threatening to like shoot him with an arrow?
Right.
He puts the gun down. That would have been the perfect shot for her. Like,
yeah, she could have got him.
She could have got him, and that bothered me.
But she did let her bow down before he let the gun down.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit faster to shoot a gun.
This is why she should have picked up a gun.
It still bothered me.
It did bother me as well. But there also was another guy with a gun there, so...
But still.
There's two guys fully armed. I don't know. Well, no. The other guy was... It was just him.
Yep.
The other guys were on their way, but...
Yeah.
She could have taken him out.
So what you're saying is you're a better woman than Laura Croft.
Yeah. I'm kidding. No. I just know what... I think what I would have done, he put his gun down. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she's shown herself to be fast with the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once he did that, she's going to Got him.
And then grabbed the gun.
Yeah. Or like if she had kept it drawn and then just pointed it down and said, I'm sorry, I didn't come on this way to see you die. And then, you know, if he had by chance lowered his gun, you know, give it a couple seconds, wait for him to lower it, and then then do it without having to call
him. I feel like that's playing it smart, but it wasn't in the script.
That's true.
So. I wouldn't have been too bothered if the other guys were already there.
Yeah. But all in all, I did have fun at the movie.
Yep, it was great.
Yeah.
Was
except fun-wise. For the guy Jacob that was sitting behind me talking the whole time. And look, this isn't like Javier. I actually know this guy's name. Jacob, if you're listening to this, don't talk during movies. It's rude. Or sit by Javier. You guys can answer other people. I mean, look, he was on a date, so I understand. But I don't want to be on your date.
He was distracting me from abs, man.
Yeah. Come on. Let me look at the abs, not listen to your words.
At the same time, we have a movie date pretty much every week at the theater, and we don't talk.
Well, that's because you don't like me. But that's why I sleep on the couch every week.
Okay.
I'm kidding. We like each other. We love each other. We want some more of each other? I put on some weight, so I've been doing my part. But, yeah, so good, bad, great, or terrible. I still think good, but barely.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm still going to say bad just because...
It's fair.
Yeah. It's just got too many problems. But like I said...
Bad, but worth watching, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd buy the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Like I said, number one on my guilty pleasure list.
Because of abs. So... So I guess let's talk about reviews. Katie, you've pulled up some reviews. This is a relatively short episode. We're only at an hour 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of been mixed from what I've seen.
Like me.
Yes. Okay. This review from Daniel L. says, It's not a bad movie for making your Lara Croft dumb. She should not. Should not know who really... Who really trust her and who using her. Okay.
She should not really know who trust her and using her. What's this guy's name?
Daniel L.
Is that L for loser?
Oh. No.
In a spelling bee?
Oh.
Or a grammar bee?
Oh.
Thanks for supporting me, man, because that was falling apart so quickly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then Private U says, terrible movie. The best part about it was how laughable it was. Even with MoviePass, I regret seeing it. Bad story, bad directing. Basically just a movie showing how well this girl is taking falls and holding on to things.
That's not completely unfair.
For someone who enjoyed... This one doesn't have a name, by the way. This is no name. For someone who enjoyed the video games growing up, I believe they did a great job considering cramming the game into a well-timed movie. Video game movies usually turn out bad. Well, I think this one is the best one. Now, I did have background knowledge of the character, but I took my sister to this movie. She hates video games, and I only convinced her to come with me to see it because she also likes Indiana Jones. My sister is also known for sleeping...
But video games are too unrealistic.
My sister is also known for sleeping in a movie theater if the film is boring and doesn't keep her interested.
She's known
In her words, she followed along
She's got a
well.
Twitter handle. It's all associated to sleeping girl in theater.
She wasn't confused with the plot. There was a lot of action like the Indiana film, and she stayed awake through the whole film.
Well, good for her. I'm glad she beat narcolepsy.
That's my dad in movie theaters.
Oh yeah, he's a sleepy girl.
Especially if they have a recliner, he's out.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm almost out every time I'm in a recliner, man. Except in Wrinkle in Time, I was so bored with the movie that I was just pressing the buttons back and forth, going back position. Upright.
See, I can't do that with any chair that I get. At any theater.
Every time Katie sits down, the chair is squeaky.
I get the squeaky chair. It doesn't matter where I sit.
I think it's because you're not heavy enough to pull the fabric away from the sides.
I don't know, but I always get the squeaky chair, and it bugs me, and I just want to adjust, and I get squeak, squeak, squeak,
Next
squeak,
Next time,
squeak.
We'll take a backpack full of rocks with us and see if that solves your issue.
Nice. But what if I'm not comfortable?
You won't be squeaking.
You want to be squeaking or comfortable? Choose.
I think I might just bring a pillow.
And a blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you said help. Squeaking or comfortable. Those were the same option.
I'd rather be squeaking and comfy.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh. That's the logic stick. Whacking.
It's like if you laugh or you lose.
But, yeah. Yeah. So,
Tom Brader.
Tom Brader. Look, it's all right.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid enough foundation that they could take it, and if with a better script, they could do something interesting with it.
Yeah.
And it is better than the Angelina Jolie version.
I mean, yeah.
But I want to see a sequel done well.
That's the caveat to it. Mm-hmm. I want it done well. If it's the same as this, if it's not a step up from this, I don't think it's worth continuing on and on and on with.
No.
But obviously, you know, if people are paying for it, then keep doing it, man. Whatever.
Yep.
So the guy's name who directed his name is literally Roar.
Roar.
R-O-A-R.
Yep.
He's Norwegian.
Anyway, nice.
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Speaking of Norwegian films, you should watch Trollhunter. Really good.
Is it really good?
It's on Netflix. Love cool. that movie.
Speaking of non-Norwegian films, you should not watch Revolutionary Road.
No. That's just a movie about bad people doing bad things and yelling at each other about it in the 50s.
Okay.
So... gross, man.
Don't okay.
Like giveaway time? We should talk about the giveaway. Give so basically, away. here's the deal. If you want to win a copy of that you can download to your PC of Assassin's Creed Origins, there's not really much you got to do. All you have to do is leave a review on iTunes. 5 stars preferred, but not required. And screenshot it, and then send your screenshot to us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at RollSoundPod. Or you can email us at RollSoundPod@gmail.com. And just let us know which one is yours and say, hey, I did this. And then we'll enter you into a drawing and we'll hear two podcasts from now from this one. So that'll be – I don't have the date. Hold on. Someone fill time for me. No. So basically we will on April 3rd announce the winner. So you have basically a week and a half-ish really to get your review done. But just all you got to do is leave a review and then you'll be entered to win. And then we will send you the code if you win and also give you a special shout out here on the podcast. As always, though, we do want to read out the reviews people give us. So
right.
Give those reviews on iTunes and we'll read them out and say thank you or how dare you. As the case requires.
The statistic now is that 33.33333 repeating percent of people who leave reviews become co-hosts.
That is true. That has been the case. So if you want to replace Luke and help us get rid of the dead weight on the
or
podcast.
Or be a guest.
You know what? I don't know. That depends.
I'm going where I'm appreciated.
He went to the toilet. Why are you just really trying to leave now? Is it because I called you Dead Weight? I didn't mean it.
Yes. Although that's a good name for a movie. There's probably a movie
ooh,
called
Dead Weight.
Yeah.
Swiss Army Man was originally called Dead Weight. We're really excited to be doing this giveaway. It's, again, not sponsored by anyone in particular. We're just doing it because we thought it'd be cool.
Yep.
We're actually doing it because I bought a microphone and it came with Assassin's Creed and I have a Mac, so I can't put it down nice. On the game. But I did think, you know, instead of just letting it go to waste, give it to our listeners, people who are listening, because we love them.
Love.
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 Of abs. But love nonetheless.
But they have to be buttery.
Yeah, none of that margarine abs. Anyway, so with that said...
That's what I have. I can believe that's not butter.
I can believe that all the fat... I didn't have anything for that. I'm having some self-image issues recently.
Fried butter abs.
Oh my god, I'm a tub of fried
butter. Do you guys
know
that there's actually a thing, fried butter?
Yeah, no, that, yeah.
It's disgusting. I've tried it.
Don't want that. So with that said, I believe it's time for us to say goodbye to everyone. Thank you for listening. If you're enjoying the show, obviously leave us a review. Even if you're listening to this past the time when the actual giveaway is done, we still would appreciate a review. It helps more people find the show, and the more people find the show, the more time we can put into making the show the best that it can be, and the more time that we can put into making this the best that it can be, the more I can write down the dates that things are coming out because I'm not struggling to scrape together cash when I'm not doing this.
That's true. All right, let us say goodbye
as though here's a novel idea, as though we were goats.
As though we were goats.
I'm just agreed. Throwing it out there. I don't. It's untested.
Okay.
But Katie, if you were a goat saying goodbye, what would you sound? It would sound like that.
Premature goat.
premature.
That's true. So if you were a goat, how would you say goodbye?
Bleh.
I'd say goodbye like a goat.
Okay. Cool.
Goodbye like a goat.
Bleh. God, this is a dumb thing. Why do we keep doing this?